Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the subject of divine healing, the truth of divine healing. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we know that as we're doers of the word, we will be blessed. Lord, we believe that the word is seed according to your word, and that as we sow the seed and water the seed, and then we are ever diligent to watch over the condition of our hearts, to make sure that it is good ground, that we don't let roots of bitterness in, that we don't let love of the earth and the things of the earth take over and choke out the word, that we don't let persecution stop us from being loving and being intimate with the word and with you. And we keep ourselves focused in good ground, and we're hearers and then doers. We know, Lord, that we'll receive a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold off of your word. So we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit was sent, and that Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. You lead us and guide us into all truth. So I ask you tonight, Lord, for utterance, for words to speak, and the boldness to speak it as I ought. But then also, Lord, help me to speak the truth in love. Set a watch on my mouth that I might not say things the way you wouldn't. I want to say it not only in your truth, but in the same manner in which you would say it. So I thank you for that in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what we're doing is we're looking at instances of healing. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, and we'll begin there. And this is actually found, this is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And I think we looked at this before, but I want to look at it again. It's a good break-in because we took last week off. I figured it. I was driving home last week, and I was like, you know what? These roads are going to be slick because it was just slush, and then it was freezing. And I wanted to give everybody a week to kind of get used to, you know, driving in the snow. Plus, then the snow plows get out, and they de-ice all the intersections, and so that helps as well. But in the snow, you guys know slow and steady wins the race. So otherwise, like Zach Wittenberg posted on Facebook, this scene on the highway with all these vehicles in the ditch piled up, and it said the annual meeting of Californians in Montana when it snows. I don't know where he finds those, but they're funny. So... How many have seen that annual meeting every year? Yeah. Well, you know, you got to be consistent, I guess. So we here is the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And what we're doing is we're looking at the different instances of healing in the ministry of Jesus. We'll probably get into the book of Acts as well. We'll see how far we go with this. But let's look at this. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 says, "And at once he left the synagogue and went into the house of Simon Peter and Andrew, accompanied by James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law had for some time been lying sick with a fever." So she has a fever, okay? This is not something major. She has a fever. Now, it may have been a major fever, I don't know, but it's not like it's she's not paralyzed from birth. She's not, this is not something more than likely that is gonna end her life, okay? Does that make sense? It's not a terminal disease. It's a fever. And at once they told him about, so they told Jesus about her. And he went up to her and took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So this was not a recovery. This was like... instantaneous. How many ever you've felt sick before, but you start to feel better, but you're not like 100%, so you don't have that full energy to go. Right here, we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, and it is now. I mean, he reaches down, grabs her hand, lifts her up, and what is she doing the next thing they see? She is waiting on them. So she went from, I can't do anything lying in the bed, to, what do you guys want for dinner? You know what I mean? I mean, that's essentially what's being said here. And that is a picture of Jesus ministering healing to somebody. Now, I'm going to read this in Luke 4. This is another account, same one. Luke 4, verse 38 and 39 says this. This is the same event that took place. Then he arose and left the synagogue and went into Simon Peter's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering in the grip of a burning fever, and they pleaded with him for her. In other words, they asked him. And standing over her, listen to this now, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she got up and began to wait on them. Does that sound contradictory to you? Like two different instances? Let me help you with something, because you're going to find this in the scripture. And I want you to understand this, because sometimes people think, there are people out there that think because there are the same stories told a couple of slightly different ways, that the Bible is not inerrant. It actually has, you know, that obviously it's not God's word, because Luke recorded this event this way and Mark recorded this event this way. Anybody ever seen a car accident before? Have you ever been in a situation where you and another person were at an event, whether it was a car accident or something like that, but you were standing at two different vantage points? Have you ever had that happen before? And you can be standing somewhere and you go, this is what happened, this hit like this, and this hit like this, and then this happened, and then this happened. And then another person will step up and go, no, I was standing right over here, and this is what happened. In other words, you'll get two different perspectives of what? The exact same thing. Now, it's interesting because there was a guy that wrote a book a few years ago. He's actually a criminal. He investigates. He's a criminal investigation guy. And he wrote a book about the Bible. And he actually set out to disprove the Bible. It was his purpose. And he became a Christian. Because he realized from his criminal background that these witnesses are actually very accurate. See, what a criminal guy does, or even a prosecutor like a lawyer or something like that, they'll interview different people about the same thing. And they'll compile all the evidence together and they'll form what happened around that. So in this instance, apparently Mark maybe didn't hear him rebuke the fever, but he saw him reach and pick her up. Where Luke, I don't know if he was standing closer or what happened, but he heard it. Do you see? He heard Jesus say something. But it's the same event. And really, in the grand scheme of what's being taught, which contradicts which? Does it matter if he reached down and picked her up and she was healed? Or if he stood over her and spoke and she was healed? It's not like there's a contradictory truth that's being taught. Does that make sense? It's the same truth to the end. And so you'll have that in the scriptures. You'll see different accounts of different things. And really, this particular gentleman that wrote this book, he said it really adds to the credibility of the Gospels and the Bible, because he said it shows that the Lord used these men, and that it wasn't a setup. That they're just like us. I mean, come on. How many times have we done something totally wrong and God just works it out? It's like, oh yeah, that's right. You're God, not me. Okay. So I heard Brother Hagin say, you know, never take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously, but never take yourself too seriously. So we see here that he rebuked the fever. The word rebuke means to forbid. Jesus looked at this fever and he said, I forbid you. I forbid you. So, what do we learn from this? We, being followers of Christ and him as our Savior and example, need to do the same thing. Does that make sense? Now, how many know that we talk to things all day long? If you're honest with yourself, you know you talk to yourself really probably more than anybody. And did you know everybody does it? You know, sometimes people think, you know, I know my kids have caught me talking to myself before, or my wife has. A thought will go through my mind and I'll answer it out loud. I do it. Everybody does it. Now, they may not be as vocal or as loud as maybe I am, but everybody does it. You do. Have you ever done this? I've done this. Have you ever worked on something? Like you're working and you're so focused and you all of a sudden realize you're talking, like you hear. I've done that. Why do we're geared to say. And the scripture, we looked at it before, the power of life and death is in the what? Do you realize that that scripture, the power of life and death, is happening in on both ends of that right here? The power of death and life are working when Jesus rebukes the fever. Why? Because he says, I forbid you fever. And when he says that, death goes to the fever and then life comes to the person. All at once. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes we'll try and switch it out. This is this time and this is... No, it can be all at once. Jesus would look at demon-possessed people and say, come out in the name of Jesus. No, he didn't say that. Because he didn't have to say his own name. That's what I would say. Come out in the name of Jesus. But he just say, shut up, come out. He's speaking death. He's speaking a stopping to what the enemy's doing. And he's releasing life into that person. He's doing it all at once. The power of life and death is in the tongue. It's in the tongue. So what is he doing here? He's showing you how to deal with fever. Now, there is two ways you can deal with this. You can either, in your situation, begin to look at what's going on and think about what Jesus is teaching here and begin to apply it to your life, or you can reject it and go, I don't believe that. That's not true. You have to decide. You have to make a decision. Which is it going to be? But let me just say this. I had this rolling around in me all day today, and I know it was for me. But the Lord just kept dealing with me today. Sean, the only ones that are blessed are the doers of the word. Now, can I break that down for you a little bit more? Depending on which part of the word you do, there will be blessing in your life. Depending on which part you don't do, there won't be. It just won't happen. You know, I know people that are strong on salvation in Christ, and they do that part, and they're born again. They're saved. But they're maybe not so strong on walking in love with their brother, and so they fight with everybody, and they can't find a church where they can settle in. Because, you know, all the churches are imperfect. And I want to say, even if you did find a perfect church, when you show up, it'll be imperfect. Because there ain't no perfect ones. I haven't found one yet. Now, I haven't searched them all. I will give you that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever part you do, the blessing will come. Whatever part you don't do, then whatever is there will be there. Usually it's flesh and the enemy. And those two combinations aren't good. Amen? So you have to decide, would I talk to a fever? Well, what would your master do? What would the one who saved you from hell do? Come on. You're like, man, that makes it a little more down to earth. I know. You know, maybe we do need to bring back the bracelet, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And a lot of times people feel intimidated because they're not used to looking at these scriptures like this. They're used to looking at the scriptures as historical documents, not as instructions for today's life. But the scriptures are instructions for today's life. Amen? Because if Jesus was standing next to you and your mother-in-law had a fever, no matter what you think about your mother-in-law, he would look at you and he would say, rebuke the fever and raise her up. Does that make sense? That's what he would say. Because that's what he would do, and he lives as an example for us. So it means to forbid. It means to charge or rebuke. I love this. It also means to admonish. Isn't that great? Charge or rebuke. I'm talking to a fever. Can the fever hear? Well, the fever left. So apparently it can hear. Amen. All right. So that is one lesson that we take out of that. Jesus did this as an example for us, showing us complete authority over sickness. And he did it, and then he shows us in it, he gives us illustration on how to do that. All right, let's look at Luke 4, verse 40. Here's another account of healing. These are what I call, for lack of a better word, the sovereign moves of God, okay? I know sometimes people, I don't always agree with that word sovereign, but this is what I, for lack of a better term, this is the sovereign moves of God in a sense, okay? You know, sometimes people, you know, like on the insurance form, it'll have tornadoes and it says acts of God. There's no tornadoes that are acts of God. The acts of Satan and the God of this world, you understand what I'm saying, but they're not acts of God. I only have, in the New Testament, I have a record where Jesus, or where God caused an earthquake. I do have a record of that. But in his earthquake, the prison opened up and all the people were set free. Nobody died. It wasn't like he was like, ooh, it's a prison, earthquake, crush, kill them all. He didn't do that, okay? So that wasn't him. All their bands were loosed and they were set free, okay? So those are God earthquakes. So we're believing for those around here. So Luke 4, verse 40 says this. When the sun was setting, now this was right after he healed Peter's mother-in-law. When the sun was setting, all those who had need, had any that were sick with various, talking about various in character, diseases, brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So in the evening, Jesus, I guess, was sitting on the front porch, and people started bringing every kind of various sickness to him. And what Jesus did, notice it doesn't say that he spoke to these. Now, it's possible that he did, but it says he did what? He laid his, what? Hands on them. You know, sometimes people, why do you lay hands on people for healing? Because Jesus did it. It is a method of administering healing. So, in other words, the healing anointing flows through a hand. The power of the Spirit flows through a hand. Now, I'm going to show you this here in just a little bit. But anyway, here we see that various diseases came to him. So this was not one kind of disease. This was just multiple kinds of diseases. Whatever they were, whatever they had him labeled as in that time, they were coming to him. And I don't know how they did it, because we don't have an image of how they did it. But I'm sure they just got the disciples, got them in an organized fashion and lined them up. And one by one, Jesus laid hands on them and went down the line, or they came in front of him. I don't know. But he laid hands on them and they were healed. So we see from this verse that any sick with various diseases came and were healed by Jesus. Jesus healed all manner of sickness and disease. It did not matter how common or how rare. He didn't care. He healed them. He healed them all. We also see in this verse that the method he used was to lay hands on the people for healing. So if you're going to minister healing to somebody and you say, or if somebody asks you for prayer for healing, you can biblically walk up to them, put your hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. People say, well, no, that's the preacher's job. Actually, it's anybody who believes job. Anybody can do it. You know, some Christians are bored because they just don't do what they can do. They think Christianity is church on Sunday. Or Wednesday, as it were. That's what they think Christianity is not the church meeting. Christianity, as a large part, starts when you leave. This is where you get fed, you get ministered to, you receive truth, you receive instruction from God's word about what you're supposed to do. You are being empowered so that you can go and be. You can go and be a witness wherever you are. Do you know that everybody is a witness of something? Everybody. I know people that are witnesses for the Grizzlies. Montana, the Grizzlies. They're witnesses everywhere they go. All their Facebook posts, everything is about the Grizzlies. I know people that are witnesses for whatever sport their kid is in. And that's all they talk about. All day long, every day, all they talk about. That's all they talk about. Well, is it wrong to be excited for your kids? No, that's not what I'm saying. Whatever you are full of comes out. It's a principle. You can't, I mean, it's a biblical principle, yes, but it's just the truth. Whatever you fill up on, you will release. Every time. There are people through the years that are reality TV show witnesses. All they talk about is reality TV show, which, by the way, is not reality, just so you know. It's set up. Well, this is real life. Yeah, not my real life. You can have that one. Does that make sense? So their whole existence revolves around things that are not, they're not all bad. It's just, God desires for you to be full of His word and His way, so that when you go and do, you're a witness wherever you go. And that doesn't mean you're just overbearing in the sense of, you know, you need Jesus, you know, but you're oozing God. Amen? In other words, in school, Brother Hagin used to put it to us like this. You need to be so full of the Word and so full of the Spirit, you're like a sponge that's full of water. And if you ever get a sponge real saturated, have you ever done that before? And you could just touch that sponge and what happens? Whatever it's full of just comes right out. That's what you need to be. And that's how strength and depth of relationship and excitement in your relationship with God continues and grows. Amen? So verse 41, he says this, and demons also came out of many. So crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God, and he rebuking them. So he rebuked a fever, and now he's rebuking demons. Did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Some of the sickness had an evil spirit or a demon attached to it. Do you see that? According to the Bible. So let me ask you a question. This thought came to me. I thought, oh, glory to God. I see it. This evil spirit affected a physical problem. If an evil spirit can affect a physical problem, the Holy Spirit can affect a physical solution. But the source of them is what? Spiritual. Come on. You see that? See, we need to make this connection in our mind. We need to believe this. Because if you shut it off, then it stops it from moving in your life. It's no different than salvation. What is salvation? It's a spiritual truth. But does it have effect on your physical being? Yes. It has an effect on you. So when you agree, when you get, now, Jesus said that, I got to say this, but it's so true, but his words are what? Spirit and life. Remember Proverbs? My word is health and medicine to all your flesh. All of it. Which means what? What if the doctor gave you a prescription and he said, take this, you know, once a day, or three times a day, morning, lunch, and night. And you did this. You grabbed it. Oh, man, thanks for the prescription. I know this is going to make me feel so much better. And you stuck it at your nightstand and then just went on with your day. You go back a few weeks later, the doctor's like, well, how you doing? Well, nothing changed. Well, I gave you that prescription. Yeah, I know it didn't work. Well, did you take it? Well, no, but I set it on the nightstand. You know, you can put it under your pillow. Maybe it'll get into me by osmosis. You have to take it. How do you take the word? You got to feed on it. What do you mean? You got to read it. Yeah, but I read that before. That's disrespectful to the word. Come on. I know, I bless you in Jesus' name. He's like, I don't know if I want to hear that like that. Listen, if you want freedom, you'll do what he says. If this came out, this has come out many times, but and I've had this thought many times. How many have ever heard that scripture quoted in the Old Testament, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge"? Have you ever read the context of that scripture? How many know the context of it? I went back and looked. You want to know what the context is? The people were rejecting the knowledge. It's not that they didn't have it. It's that they rejected it. There's a difference. It's not like they were going, God, we don't know. What they were doing was they were perishing because they were rejecting the knowledge that God had given. And when you do that, it causes an influence in your life. And it's not that God's in heaven going, fine, you don't want me, I don't want you. That is not the case. The case is when you step back away from him, then he has to step back. He will. He's just going to step back and go, okay, if that's what you want, I'll let you have it. I mean, we see that principle from the beginning in Adam and Eve. He let them choose what they wanted. And so if you're going to see or have a spiritual force of the Holy Spirit, of the Word of God, of the life of God, of the resurrection of God in your life that has a higher influence than what the enemy can do, what the world can do, and its pressures, then you're going to have to put yourself in a position where there is a constant inflow of this Word. You're going to have to do what the doctor said, which is Jesus, Dr. Jesus. You've met Dr. Jesus, right? He is the Lord, your physician. He is the Lord who healeth you. He is the great physician. You're going to have to go, okay, Lord, what did you say in your word? You said in your word that your words are health and medicine to all my flesh. So I'm going to go ahead and swallow the medicine and read it. I don't care if it's, you know, the genealogies found in Numbers and Chronicles and all the, I don't care if it's that. It's health and medicine to all your flesh. Now, I'd pick somewhere else to read if I were you, but, you know, it's health and medicine to all your flesh. If you are going to have hope outside of your circumstance, you're only going to find it right here. You know, you can get so full of the Word and so full of the Spirit, people can just do horrendous things to you and you just don't care. It just runs off you like water off a duck's back. You just don't care. When I know when I start getting pushed by things, and I've done this many times, when I start getting irritated and pushed by things, I know I'm allowing other things in me or on me that I shouldn't. I have not filled up with the Word and filled up with the Spirit like I should. I'm not where I should be. I haven't filled up on this Word. Well, if I do that, it'll take up this time and that time. Well, which would you rather have? The latest on whatever's going on in the world, or to be full and close to your God? You got to choose. And guess what? Your flesh and your mind isn't going to want to agree with you. You know why? Because it's easier to come home after a long day of work and sit down and watch TV. Come on. And hope the preacher can get the answer to your prayer for you. Oh, don't say that, Sean. Look, where I went to school, Brother Hingham would share stories. You're going to love this. This will help you. His son, when he was 13, had like an ear infection or something like that. And his son, though, had been in his services and heard healing, almost from the time he was born. You know what I mean by that? He'd been in his services. And Brother Hagin always prayed for his kids for healing, always. And it worked, always. But as his kids got older and as they developed more in their relationship with the Lord, he expected more and more out of his kids. And it was by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And his son had this problem, and so Brother Hagin went to praying about it. And he said, Lord, he was asking him about healing for his son. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, he's been around you long enough. He knows how faith works. Tell him to act on his faith. Isn't that interesting? Some parents are like, no, I'm going to take care of my baby. And their baby's like 40. It's over. They should be going by now. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Like, if I have a problem, I don't call my mom. I don't. I seek the Lord. Here's another one for you. Because Brother Hagin had this told him more. His wife had a heart condition. She went in to see the doctor. I don't remember if she was in her 50s or 60s, something like that. She went in to see the doctor. The doctor said to her, we need to do surgery, and they were going to give her like 2 weeks. I don't know if she had blockages or something in her heart. And Brother Hagin got to praying about it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, nope, she's got faith. She'll get it. Get on the word. So you know what she did? She actually had his tape, because Brother Hagin has this tape called Healing Scriptures. Well, it's not a tape anymore. It's a CD now, because, you know, tapes are archaic. But when this story was happening, it was a tape. And she listened to that every morning when she was getting ready for her day for 2 weeks. And she just started listening, and she found certain scriptures that really spoke to her out of that. And she stood on those scriptures. She went back to the doctor 2 weeks later. The doctor said, you got a brand new heart. We don't have to do surgery. Nobody laid hands on her. Now listen, if that sounds like a fairy tale to you, you've got to work on your own mind and get it straightened out. Because I'm not sharing with you something that is my own opinion. I'm sharing something with you that is scriptural. And you know what the enemy tries to do? He tries to wear you out with circumstances and thoughts and pressures. Come on, how many you guys have felt it? Tries to tire you out. You got this going and this going and this going and this going and this going. And how are you going to do this? And how are you going to do that? And the temptation is, and I've done it, is to go, I don't know. You know what I mean? And just get overwhelmed. And you know what I mean? You just want to, you do. You really feel like, I just want to, you know, watch a football game and not think. Am I the only one it doesn't have to be a football game, you know? I tease my, you know, it could be a Hallmark, movie. or whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever it is. My kids are, you know, yelling and tearing up the house and screaming, and then I got this going on and that going on, and break out the bullwhip, get the kids in line. Calm the house down, get your thoughts back in order, and trust God. You can do it. Life ain't over. There's still a lot to live, amen? And God's word is more than enough for you to make it through. The enemy's goal and his whole structure system is designed to put pressure and weight on you and to bring oppression to you and leave you under this weight of fear and worry And God's system is freedom. And it comes, yes, it comes through people praying with you. Yes, it comes through coming to church services. But you know what? The stronger you get, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more He expects of you. The more He expects of you to stand up in the middle of your situation like Paul did and go, none of these things move me. I will not be moved by any of these things. I will trust God. I will stand on His word and I will see His word come to pass. Faith, I wish I could just, I don't know any other way to get the understanding of this into people other than that people have to just want to get so hungry for understanding God that they'll just do anything to know Him. Does that make sense? They'll do anything to know Him. Their heart's cry and passion is, I'm going to just get alone with God, and He's going to... It's kind of like, this would be a good example. The gentleman in the Old Testament that wrestled with God, who was it? Jacob? And his name was changed to Israel, right? Okay, what did he do? The angel of the Lord looked at him and said, I got to go. And he said, you are not going until you bless me. And that's how you have to be with truths. You have to go, I am not going to let you go until I get this. Make sense? That's how faith works. And then, now listen to me, because you guys know this. You already know this, but the Holy Spirit's putting it in perspective for us. And then, when it looks like absolutely nothing is working, and you feel like everything has fallen apart, in that moment, you step up and go, God, you're moving on my behalf. I praise you and I thank you for it. And you know what that does? Puts a big old smile on God's face. Because He goes, faith. I see it. When the circumstances don't look like they're changing, when the things don't look like they're turning around, and in the middle of that, you stand up and you go, God, you're moving, you're faithful, you never let me down. I trust you. God goes, yeah. And people say, you know, people sometimes think, well, if all the problems would just go away, they will go all away when Jesus returns. I promise you. Okay? But until then, you've got hope because you got your Lord. And your Lord is big enough. He's strong enough. And you're not being tempted beyond what you're able in Him. Does that make sense? In other words, there is a supply for what you're going through. And sometimes that is, Lord, I need strength. I need extra strength. You know, you got Tylenol and then you got extra strength Tylenol. We got extra strength Jesus. Come on. And in the midst of those situations, when you step in, you will not be disappointed if you act in faith. You will not. You will not be disappointed. There is nobody who has trusted God and stood on God's word and ever ended up disappointed. I've never met them. Now, I've met some people that got bitter and got mad at God, but they weren't in faith. So, you know, what do you do with that? You can't do anything with it. Not even God can do anything with that. Because if you push off, He'll let you go. But when you stand on His word, which is what we do, and we see God move in our lives, and we, in those difficult situations, we don't let go of that word then becomes an answer. It becomes the spiritual reality of that truth becomes a physical manifestation in your life. So what is being influenced outside in the spirit world is having an effect on your natural person. So in this case, like we looked at here, there were spirits involved in him in sicknesses, and then the Holy Spirit involved in the change and in the healing. Faith is one of those things, and I got to go back to this again, because apparently it needs to be said. It's just like Jacob, going from Jacob to Israel. You lock down on that thing. Come on, you got to be like a pit bull. And you don't let go. There was a gentleman years ago that wrote a book called White Knuckle Faith. And the principle was based on a bull rider. You know what a white knuckle is, right? In other words, you've clinched down so hard. In other words, this is what faith does. I am going to hang on to this word and do this word no matter what. And no matter what comes against me, I will not let it go. Make sense? I'm trying to get a really, you know, rough attitude in you. A biker mentality against the enemy. Because so much of Christianity today is projected as we just beg God and hope that he does something and we're weak and oh, what are we going to do? That's a lot of Christianity. But I don't see that in Jesus. And I don't see that kind of Christianity did not turn the world upside down or right side up, as it were, in the apostles' day. When they got together and had prayer meetings, it was not, you guys, we got to petition the government so that these people will stop persecuting us. Come on. Did they do that? They get beat up. They go back to their own company. They're told they can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. They go back to their own company, report what happened, and then they start praising God. So what's the word, guys? We can't preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray for boldness that we all preach and teach in the name of Jesus. They do it, and then God confirms it with signs and wonders following. That doesn't sound like weak Christianity to me. When it comes to the enemy and the way that he operates and moves, he wants to force you into a fear position. And you've got to push back against him in a faith position. You've got to dig your heels in and go, devil, you're going to wish you hadn't. And when you do that, he knows he's in trouble. He knows it. Mark Hankins, you guys have heard me say this before, but he made this statement. The spirit of faith will make you swing over hell on a cornstalk and spit in the devil's eye. That's Southern for you ain't afraid of the devil. And people as a whole have not, Christians as a whole have not learned how to live that way in faith. What they've learned is that they're born again, that they're going to heaven, and man, I hope God does something for me down here while I'm here. I hope he can even see me. I'm pretty small compared to everything else going on. The universe is big. I'm sure he's got other things going on. That's their view of God in relationship to them. That's not how God is. He cares for you to the minute detail. I mean, I could tell you testimonies about my wife getting jewelry given to her that she didn't tell anybody about, but she was standing in her bathroom going, you know, I really need a silver bracelet. And some lady, we don't even know the lady. I mean, we know who she is, but it's not like we're buds. You know, we have never hung out outside of church. This is at another church. Walks up to her. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to give you this. And what is it? It's a silver bracelet. God's in heaven going, she wants a silver bracelet. Get it to her. It wasn't even a prayer. It's not like she said, in the name of Jesus, Father, I claim the silver bracelet. None of that. It just comes. Why? God loves her. Okay, say it with me. God loves me. You thought I was going to say loves Heidi, but God loves me. I'm going to prove it to you and we'll end here. Go to lots of notes here, lots of notes. Go to Luke 13. And I'm going to prove this point to you and then we'll stop. Luke 13. Verse number 10. The attitude that God was distant, irritated, and didn't care about people irritated Jesus. The belief in the people of that day, the religious leaders of that day, that God was distant, could care less about the people, irritated Jesus. I'm going to prove it to you right here. Luke 13:10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Again, we see the same principle of a spirit affecting a sickness. For 18 years. And was bent over and could no way raise herself. So she had some sort of crippling thing that caused her to be bent over and she couldn't raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed of your infirmity." And he laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What do we see right there? He spoke and then he laid hands. What did he do? He rebuked and then he laid hands on her. Isn't that good? But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Oh, Jesus was better with these guys, I think, than showed a great example for us to follow with these guys. Because I think maybe some of us wouldn't if we wouldn't have had Jesus' example. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are six days on which men are to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." Okay, what day did they have a healing service? Never. Ever. They were not getting anybody healed. But yet they're going to instruct Jesus on how to do it. You know, do you think it's a good idea to tell the one who made you how to do his job? Always a bad idea. Always a bad idea. The Lord then answered and said to him, look at the nice words of Jesus, speaking in love, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his donkey or his ox from the stall?" In other words, come on, this happens today. We love the dogs, but not the people. We have laws protecting animals and laws allowed to murder babies. How twisted is that? And if you don't think it's in our culture or you don't think it affects you, watch. See. They've done a good job with it. The enemy has. So he says, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Notice here that the physical affliction was caused by a spiritual force. If a sickness can come from the spirit world, then surely a healing can come to the body through the Holy Spirit. Then in verse 17, he says, "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him." Now, let me read this to you in the Passion Translation. Okay? You'll like this. It'll make it even more clear. The Passion Translation. Luke 13. Whoop, too far. Verse 10. I love this. "On the Sabbath, while Jesus was teaching in the Jewish meeting house, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage and had left her unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, 'Dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit.' Instantly, she stood up straight." Can you imagine? She's crippled. And then all of a sudden, boom! She's healed. Just like that. Praise God. We're going to see that. And she says, "Dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit." Instantly, she stood up straight and tall, and she overflowed with glorious praise to God. The Jewish leader who was in charge of the meeting house was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. "6 days you are to work," he shouted angrily to the crowd. "Those are the days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. The Lord said, 'You hopeless frauds, don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath day? Untying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading it away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who had been bound by Satan for 18 long years to be united, to be untied and set free on a Sabbath day?" When they heard this, his critics were completely humiliated, but the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. In other words, God cares about everything about you. He cares more about your situation than you do. He cares more about your situation than you do. He has more care for your situation than you do about it. He's not worrying about it. I'm telling you, he cares more about it than you do. And when you open up your heart to him and you move your heart toward him and you do it in faith with that understanding in the sense of, "Lord, this is true. I'm open. Now speak. Let's deal with this." You'll get answers. He'll move on your behalf. But in the process of that, you have to hold on to expectation and expect him to move. And even when you don't feel like it, you can purposely, I do this all the time, I intentionally expect. And when I really don't feel like it, I say it anyway. "Yep, it's working. Just like the Lord said it would. It's working. Just like he said it would. Well, it looks like it's further away than it's ever been. I know, it's just right around the corner. I mean, if it's been this long, imagine how close we are now." I'm telling you guys, you're going to have to stir yourself up. You're going to have to get alone in your prayer closet and go, "Lord, this is a cruddy situation, but I praise you in the name of Jesus. I glorify you. Your word says that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It may look like the ship is sinking, but Lord, we're going to float on for a whole lot longer. We will reach the other side. We will reach it." And people go, "I don't know how it's going to work." Me neither. But I know who is going to work it out. And he will. And what seems like an endless trial will all of a sudden come to an end. You know, it's like, you remember the story about Jesus on the rough seas? And it says they see Jesus. He's walking on the water. Disciples are in the boat screaming. "It's a ghost!" But it says he got in the boat and what? They were immediately to the other side. That's how close we are to some of these things that you're believing for breaking through. So don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just don't quit. Right? Because the endless trial, it'll all be done. And 10 years from now, you'll go, "I remember this one time. We were in this endless trial, it seemed like. And then it was over." Yeah. Amen? Let's just do this as we close. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord. And just, I'm going to lead but you out of your own mouth. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Lord, you're moving on our behalf. Your word is working. You're working. The Holy Spirit's moving. Angels are responding to the word of God. It's happening, Lord. Your word is life and health and truth and healing to all of our flesh, and truth and a light and a lamp to all of our path, Lord. You're moving on our behalf, and we're thankful for it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in advance, knowing that it's already done in the spirit, and we're going to see it in the natural soon. Lord, lives being restored on all sides, and truths and manifestation of your presence and answers to questions and issues and problems are going to happen. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.